Hey, everybody, on this episode of the Designated Survivor After Show, we are back. It's been almost 3 months. We're going to be breaking down the winner premiere, Warriors.
Find out with the lamest promo, who took the bullet. Oh, that was terrible. Let's do this.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Look at that. The familiar sounds of Destiny Child can only mean one thing. It is Wednesday night, and it is Designated Survivor time.
We're back.
We are back. Sans Oreos. I'm sorry, everybody.
Not yet.
No, give it time. We're as much like this season. We'll be ramping up.
One of our biggest fans, Tanya, who always comments to us on Twitter, asked if we would have them tonight, and I said that I've had way too many cookies the last 3 days. Need to give it a break. Maybe we'll be coming back to them a couple episodes.
You need a couple weeks to
digest? Absolutely.
Oh, man.
It's a lot.
We'll see about that. There's Peeps marshmallows, Peep marshmallows.
Ew, Oreos out now. That's disgusting.
But I almost wanted
Michael
to get some.
Well, Michael probably love it then.
I do like Peeps.
You're probably going to have like a whole tray for Easter, no? Like a whole tray of Peeps.
That's true. Stack them all up.
There you go. I know you're probably thinking this is now the Oreo after show, but no, I promise, we're going to be talking about Designated Survivor. I'm your host, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
What's up, guys? So glad to be back. I'm your host, Christine Alexis. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Christine Bean.
Hey, guys. Michael Klaus here. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter now. I've officially changed it to @TheOnlyMC for both. I actually didn't buy it out, but I got the person who had it on Twitter to give it up. So @TheOnlyMC on Instagram and Twitter now.
Wow. Nice. Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel, and you can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
How much did you have to pay or to convince a guy to give it to you?
It was actually a girl, and she didn't use it, and I realized that she didn't use it, so I found her on Facebook, and I sent her a message, and she was like, yeah, absolutely, you know, us MCs gotta stick together. And I was like, if that means you giving it to me, yes, I'm all about us sticking together.
Oh, how nice.
So she gave it up for free, and yeah, it works out really well.
Well, look at that.
Wow.
I'm totally happy with it.
There you go.
What a great story.
All right, so as mentioned, it's been almost 3 months since we last sat down here and broke down this show. Have you folks missed it during our time away?
Okay. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think we were surprised by what happened, who got shot. I think we all predicted that it was not actually Kirkman, that it was his wife that got shot. So, surprise. So, I guess, in looking at it, you know, we thought it was going to be one thing. So, like, I wasn't like, oh, my goodness, I wonder what happened, because I thought I knew. Obviously, ended up being wrong. But from the perspective of I wanted to see how it finished, and it's very much tying into today's current political culture of someone who doesn't have political experience, obviously governing the free world, wanted to see how they explore that. So I'm intrigued. Yeah, I was ready for it to come back.
All right. Well, Brene?
Yeah, I was excited to see who got shot. I do love that the person who got shot was the person who was supposed to get shot.
What I will like, and Christine, I'll say in a moment, when we saw that Tom Kirkman got hit, I look over to Christine, and she is laughing. laughing at this very dramatic moment of the show.
What's funny?
It was just funny because... Because
the blood.
Because it's just the way they did it. I felt like it was so, like, Days of Our Lives dramatic.
It was.
She, like, Alex falls on top of President Kirkman, and they're, like,
no,
looking at each other.
Oh,
he falls on top of her. And she's like... That's not my blood. And then it's like, oh, he's shot.
Yeah, because like, he thought she got shot.
I thought so, too.
And then she's like,
they had to stick with it because everyone thought that she got shot.
Yeah,
so they had to stick with the play for at least a couple seconds and then really fool everyone.
Yeah, well, yeah. That moment was very uncomfortable
It was just very weird. It felt very, like, staged.
It's not my blood. I wonder whose it is.
Given the way
maybe the person on you.
Given the way this episode played out, I guess it makes sense to have Tom Kirkman be neutralized. Because then you invoke the 25th Amendment, you get a Bacleese show.
Yeah.
For the dramatic purposes of the show, better to have him be incapacitated than Alex.
By the way, we got a big live chat going on right now. So if you're watching this, obviously live, and you're commenting, we appreciate it. We love you guys for tuning in and incorporating you as much as possible. Anyone who's watching this afterwards, you join us live, you can join the live chat. We get your opinions and everything else.
That's
give
true.
Us a thumbs up.
Yeah, you can also like us on Facebook.
Like us.
Give us
some
five
validation,
stars on iTunes.
Less
right.
therapy.
There you go. Renee likes to go home at night and look at all the 5-star reviews on iTunes. So
yes.
Please
you
do
were
that
surprised about Kirkman being shot?
I guess because we had so much everything, everybody assumed it was going to be Alex.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it was.
But it's not a dramatic ABC show if the president doesn't get shot.
No,
I feel
that's
like this
true.
Is like a just a recurring. Storyline in all the ABC shows.
But I also just like the way that the promo right before the show started, like, find out who took the bullet. That was just...
There was one promo where Kirkman was doing like a monologue, kind of like outlining everything that happened over the season, and he's like, "And now I am the president, and find out if it was me." Like, it was so
dramatic.
You didn't hear that one?
No.
Kiefer Sutherland. It was just like so dramatic.
I mean, the show does tend to be a little on the more dramatic side. Slightly.
But they said this year, and I remember talking with you before the show, of what they were trying to focus on this year, or at least this, you know, half of the year, is more character development. Yeah. That one of the biggest critiques was that there was too much suspense. And in an article with, let me try to bring this up where I found it, was... I gotta figure out where it was. But it was with, I think they had a new executive producer on the show, and he said what they wanted to do was basically divide it up into three when they first pitched it, was a bunch of suspense and keeping people on edge, but then they wanted to do more character development, and then also get into the actual personal life of the president. So now we're moving into more character development, and we see that tonight with the flashback of Kirkman and Alex.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, I felt to me, an unnecessary flashback. Didn't really do much. I mean, other than give Alex that just emotional moment, like that one beat where she goes, "Oh, is it my fault this is happening?" Like,
And then the warrior thing, they kept saying, like, "You're a warrior. No, you're a warrior. We're warriors."
I'm usually the most critic one on this channel, and tonight I feel like I'm the optimist.
You definitely are. I think this episode, though, was more about, like, McLeish's character development. We're just seeing more of him. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, like, showing all the layers to how deeply involved he is in this conspiracy.
How psycho his wife is.
Yeah, and we see so much of her. I mean, literally in my notes, me and Renee were laughing. I was like, Peter McLeish's wife, though? Like, question mark?
Yeah.
She is really savage.
She is stone cold.
She's definitely, like, I feel like she's keeping Peter McLeish in line. Like, every other man, he's like, "How can I do this? What are we going to do?" And she's like, "The plan is still on point, Peter. Like, we've got this."
Like, we know who wears the pants in the relationship.
Obviously.
And you can see throughout the course, it's like the guilt and the pressure of the situation really weighing on him. Certainly by the end where he's just sitting alone in the room, his office or bedroom, just watching all the news reports and just kind of sinking down. So who knows how long he's going to be able to keep his stuff together.
Freaky.
Yeah.
That betting was very, like, busy also. The betting was busy?
Yes.
You're critiquing the set design right now.
That's what I was watching in that room. I was like, that's a lot of choices for one bed.
Well, they give Tom Kirkman just about pretty much the least traumatic experience of getting shot. It's a through and through. There are some fragments that they do need to do surgery. So it's going to be about 3 hours that he's going to be under. Mm-hmm. But overall, it's pretty much like the least amount of damage that could have been done.
But you knew in that 3 hours that something was going to happen. Unlike the previous situations where they mentioned of Reagan and Bush 43W of going under, and it's like, oh, he's down and nothing happens.
Although, Michael Klass, you did raise your hand to say, "I have a beef. I don't believe, I already have issues." You did mention that.
I did, yeah, because you obviously knew something was going to happen. I pointed that out as an issue of, like, they wouldn't have any drastic decisions while he's under. Like, you wouldn't have that happen.
But they
obviously
did a couple.
But being obviously that happened, I thought more would have happened. Like, I thought Peter McLeish was going to have more things happen than just, like, obviously pushing the markets to fail.
But they did do a big thing, and I feel like we're kind of all over the place a little bit, but they did do a big thing with Catalan being killed. Which they didn't really explain too well that it was Catalan who was killed.
I don't believe that it's him. I think maybe they found somebody, and like there's just a suspect in custody. Because through that whole scene, they never show like any sort of surveillance footage that they've confirmed it's him inside.
Well, I say that from McLeish and his wife saying that Catalan's dead.
Right.
Which
they did.
I was thinking based off like the raid, like that whole scene.
True. We didn't get to see the face, but they did have a positive ID at least. So as far as we know, it is him. But it could always be.
I always leave like a little room for a twist where like, actually him, and like he escaped somehow, and then you know it's another plot twist later.
For somebody that seems to be so far ahead of the curve, it seems weird for him to go out in such a fashion like this.
I think so.
Yeah.
Not right away. Not the first episode back. Like I think there's definitely more to it, because then also why would Secret Service agent Mike go to Hannah's friend's house to find out more? Mm-hmm. I feel like why would that come after he's already been taken out? Like I think there's still more to that.
Well, I hope there is.
So of course Tom's going to be going under, so he needs to invoke the 25th Amendment, which means McLeish is going to be in power, but he's still a little trepidatious about that, so he does have Hook Stratton come in and wants to have a little talk. I'm going underneath, but I trust you. I feel like this is a nice moment between the two of them where it's like I've always agreed, but I know that you really want what's best for the country. So keep an eye on him and make sure he's doing right by...
Do you see that relationship lasting?
well, they're always butting heads too, so there's always going to be some issue that's going to put mm-hmm. them in conflict. But I think there's a nice underlying base of at least trust, I think. And I think where we see MacLeish's views of Hook Stratton, I think we get the idea that she is on Kirkman's side. I mean, even
in the overall scheme of things. Until the next election, for sure, I think she's not a threat.
I think she's playing it smart.
Yeah, but she's not the queen of subtlety whatsoever.
No.
Again, another time with MacLeish. They're like, just so you know, we're on to you. Why would you do that? Why?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to do something bad. I'm going to let you know.
You've got to lay your cards out a little bit, though. You can't. You have to apply pressure. You can't crush him, but you have to apply pressure.
Last time someone applied pressure, he kidnapped their kid.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
The other element, too, is we have Hannah Wells. She at least she shot the window, which at least, I think, prevented Kirkman from getting killed.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a little moment there, but then she gets taken into custody. We have Forrestal doing the questions, and Hannah's just like, nope, I'm not going to say anything to you. I got whatever's in my statement. That is it.
She's very leery of releasing information.
Understandably so, though, given how it was the last couple episodes for her, just not knowing who she can trust.
That's how you get trust issues.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it from a realistic standpoint of, like, I don't know you can only withhold it. I mean, obviously her goal is to speak with the president, but right. Would that actually happen in real life, or?
In real life, no, I don't think so, yeah. But I think being in the position that she is, she's an agent, I think she knows how this whole process works, and I think she was probably just stalling because she knew, like, whoever they sent in first probably wasn't the best person to get her, you know, in with the president. And
yeah,
she
I
held
agree
out, and eventually they brought in someone bigger who she used as leverage. So, yep, I think it was just.
No word for
her.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody that has done something for what looks like very much of a criminal act, but is hopefully good for the country, their go to motive is like, I'm not going to say anything until I get to meet the president. Because that happened a few episodes ago, too, where the one guy that did like WikiLeaks, too, like, nope, I want to meet the president, share some stuff.
Which is apparently what you can do when he's not like a major politician and he's like a regular guy. Of like, true. Hey, no, I wanna meet with you. All right, let's do this.
Okay. All right, we'll do that. We also get the other storyline that was kind of dangling too between Emily and Alex about before we left last fall, that Emily had found out that a call came from Aaron's office a couple years back that put the kill order on this that battle plan, whatever it was.
Was anybody else majorly analyzing his character? This episode?
I thought it was kind of soon for Emily to let on that they knew something more about him. I was kind of surprised at that.
Yeah, just deny it. Say no. Lie again.
Her character, can't lie. And they work so close. He knows. And now I'm curious to see, like, what moves he's going to make now that he knows people are onto him and, like, just how deep he is involved in it.
But I would think... I'm beginning to think that he is being just set up because the way that he acted when MacLeish wanted to keep the markets open and he was so adamant about what's going on as well as when Catalan was holed up and they wanted to get the kill order so that they don't do as well. He was really resistant against both of those. So I think he was so resistant. I don't think he's in on it.
Yeah, he seemed very innocent, just like you were saying, with those situations and just very like butting heads with MacLeish. So unless he's a third party trying to take things down, which would be a huge development... I see him as innocent. And obviously that it was kind of being set up where someone made the call from his office to make him look guilty.
Renee's not buying it at all.
I don't know.
I don't know if I believe that either.
Because I feel like, of course, they're going to paint him to look innocent right now because they don't want us to see him as guilty yet if he is a traitor. So I think he'll keep playing this innocent card until something is revealed big time about him, and then he'll come out, and then we'll be like, oh my gosh, it'll be more of a surprise, because when we see him, it feels genuine, it seems that his intentions are genuine when he's disagreeing with MacLeish, but I think that they wouldn't open this up just to be like, nah, he was just set up by someone else, and that's like, who is this other person?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it has to be someone backstabbing them that we know and are comfortable with. Someone that's already one of the main characters, and we haven't had that yet. So I feel like is it Aaron? Who else would it be? Seth? Like, one of these characters has to be the backstabber, in my opinion.
I don't know. I feel like there's something in his past that he's done or he's doing. He's got something. I don't think it's connected to the bigger conspiracy, but I think there is a skeleton in his closet that deals around that.
Okay, so maybe.
Good phrasing.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah, maybe he's just like nervous that it'll come out, or maybe he had something to do with it on a smaller scale and didn't realize it would be this. This big thing. Like, maybe he did something a couple years ago, like you said, something in his closet that later would connect to the bigger picture.
Ivan makes a good point in saying that they spent the entire first half trying to make him look like a bad guy. It would almost be tiresome if he is the bad guy.
That's true, too.
Was it really the first half of the season, though? Because it was only the first few episodes, I would think. Because then when he found that folder, the folder was turned out to be innocent. He was just getting information on Tom. And then from there, we really didn't see anything bad with Aaron. However, if he was bad, those would be hints dropping from the very beginning of the season where maybe this guy has other intentions. And then they turned him out to be a nice guy because right now, even our panel thinks he's a good guy. So it's not that they've convinced us otherwise. We just have doubts.
Maybe our panel's just really smart and seeing through the haze that they're trying
I'm gonna go
to
with
put
that
out
one.
There.
Yeah.
So, of course, we got our moment there with Hook Stratton. Just saying that I'm going to keep an eye on you. And that we never really saw that pay off. If you do anything that's out of line, I'm going to report you to go right to the press corps. And so when he does the stuff about, I'm opening the markets, I'm doing all this, like it felt like I never saw Hook Stratton.
That's a good point, actually.
Up on that.
She never put her foot down.
You can only do so much.
She can talk to the press corps.
Yes, but at a certain point, it wouldn't change anything. And so you can't, I don't know. I thought that their hands were pretty tied on that. Especially, even, I mean, you look at the situations of her stepping up, obviously, with the shooter, too, or Aaron stepping up and saying, like, what do you, like, no, you take information. Which is obvious, by the way. Another one of the issues of, like,
ooh, all right.
That's obvious. You obviously don't shoot to kill. He's one of your few leads. I'm surprised more people weren't stepping up in that room and be like, this seems really shady. Yeah, why are you not, you know, trying to take him alive?
I think actually Kirkman got more opposition when he was in that position in the Situation Room than Peter McLeish did. Everyone was just like, okay.
We need to bring back the general.
Yeah, because the general and everyone else was like, no.
The general would have solved that situation
early.
Yeah.
The only thing that Peter could have in that room is that he is, from their point of view, a war hero. Even though we know that he's not.
True.
But from their perspective,
he's
a war hero, so they're going to take, at least he served, he knows what he's talking about, so they may give him a little room to kind of throw his weight around.
Plus, his demeanor was super confident. He was just like they're rattling off commentary. He's like, noted. Like, he didn't give a crap what they had to say. It wasn't like he was like, oh, I don't know, it's the right decision here. He was like,
unlike Tom,
carry on.
Who does that.
Yes. And that's how he's manipulated, so... Yeah.
He runs into the bathroom
and
pukes.
We could do it like this, guys. What do you think? And everyone's like, you suck. No.
So we also get Mike. So before he goes under, Tom says, Mike, go talk to Hannah for me. And I thought I liked the interrogation scene between the two of them where trying to keep Forsell out of it because they don't know what he knows or who he's really working for. So just kind of blocking the camera, turning the picture over. I want to help. And then just doing that little scene where she gets to just kind of choke him to pass along information. I thought that was a nice way to pass
Mike's getting a bigger
role.
Yeah.
He seems like a really nice character. Someone who you'd almost like to get to know more of.
Yeah, I'm liking at least where we saw in the promos for the season. It feels like so much of the beginning part of the series was Tom and the team being kind of on defense, not knowing exactly what's going on. Mm-hmm. But now it feels like they're going to start getting their act together and playing a little bit more offense, which would be nice to see.
Yeah.
It's kind of tiresome to see them always on the losing end of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Trying to counteract what is happening now to...
Or just, like, reacting.
Yeah.
Like they're never, like, a step ahead.
And for those of you that missed Chuck, I know we all did, we get to see a little scene between Mike and Chuck talking about Catalan. Everybody's excited to see Chuck again. I know, Renee, you swooned when you saw Chuck come back on screen.
Oh, yes. Chuck.
Yeah, very excited.
It was nice. It was good seeing Chuck again. I do like Chuck.
I do like at least the reluctance he had to open the door, because if you've been hearing all about that there's a big conspiracy and who can you trust, then how do you know, all right, should I open this door? Does it mean I'm dead? What happens?
Great line, though. What happens if I don't? Well, I'll just break it in.
that was good.
All right, well, touche. Another thing that I'm you know, still analyzing, it was one of the issues that I think that we had from the first half of the series, was the speed of information and how it travels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really paying attention to that with Mike and any information that he's gathering from, you know, Hannah and from Chuck. And it's like, how quickly is that being reported back? And I thought it was better.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Yeah. We got that information in one... it traveled in one episode. Mm-hmm. Finally back to the present.
Yeah.
I mean, even though we didn't see it, like, we were all just like, finally, we've been waiting for this. I mean, I feel like... The moment she walked in, I'm like, what's going to happen? Like, is someone's going to, like, get her to leave? Like, what? Come on. And then it finally happened. She finally got to spill the beans waiting for her to spill for many, many episodes.
Well, they opened the can of beans. She hasn't officially spilled them yet.
I know. There's the back and forth of, like, I feel like we should start the conversation.
I feel like we should start the conversation.
I agree. Let's start the conversation.
You knew it was coming. We're all like, when are we just going to...
I was expecting her to walk in and trip and knock her head and be in a coma.
Like, oh, my God.
Oh, no. Yeah. Hannah can't give us this information.
We need to go into surgery.
And also, to back up there with Mike, I did like when Forrestal, outside the interrogation room, said, you know, if you find anything, you gotta, you know, you're gonna share it with me, right? And he's like, I'd be like, Mike gave him...
Didn't say anything.
Nope.
Like, not a word.
But, yeah. Like, that's what makes him seem so suspicious. Like, obviously, you're sending him there to ask questions. He should be reporting back to you. It just made him look so much more suspicious to me.
Yeah.
Like, make sure you tell me.
So, wait, do you think he's bad, then, or just very much on the defensive?
They almost painted him out to be bad.
I think so.
See, I don't think he's bad. I think he just looks like a dick.
I don't know that he's necessarily bad just yet, but like I'm sticking with the theme of like not trusting anybody. They're interrogating her and she's already tied to so many things. I think he's already coming into this with a negative mindset, like just trying to convict her. So I don't necessarily trust telling him anything, really.
Yeah, but I'm also hoping that, because I do hate with these conspiracy shows where almost just pretty much everybody is in on it, and you're like,
oh, that's the feeling I'm getting now. I'm like, okay, should I trust this person? Should I not? Like, that's where conspiracy theory shows kind of lose me a little, because then it's like a black hole. Just where does it end?
So how would you handle it, Christine? Would you open your heart out to everybody, or would you be very suspicious? Be like Chuck, just waiting inside with the little lead pipe.
I'd probably still be really guarded until well, now that she's gotten in the room with Kirkman, you know, let it all out, but. Up until that point, no, I wouldn't trust anybody.
All right.
Yeah, see, I understand from his perspective of being the FBI guy's perspective.
Yeah. But
you have to respect her situation as well of not wanting to release anything. So for his, he's like, you're not telling me anything? Like, obviously, I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and unless you tell me something,
yeah,
you seem guilty.
Yeah.
And for anybody that is prone to thinking that everything's a conspiracy, you're going to just assume, like, then they must be in on it.
Yeah. You're at that point, you're not innocent until proven guilty. You're guilty until proven innocent, which is not a bad thing.
Of course, the other big thing that's been kind of running throughout the show is that McLeish says, you know, we're not going to close the markets. We're going to keep them open. And everybody's worried that it's going to be one of the biggest crashes. And throughout the episode, we do see that everybody's freaking about the markets. There's been a big drop.
Yeah.
But we find out that this is also part of the plan for McLeish and his wife as they're sitting outside the Oval Office. Like, that's how also romantic. Part of the deal is for the markets to crash. For what reason? We don't know yet.
We don't know.
Yeah.
They're just a bit corrupt.
I mean, it does have a huge thing, and I'm looking at the crash that they were talking about, the flash crash in 2010, when it said that it dropped, lasted approximately 36 minutes, and $1 trillion was lost in about 36 minutes.
And he frames it as very much a buyer's market. So whether the people that are working for the bigger conspiracy are using it as an opportunity to buy a bunch of stuff at a very cheap price, maybe that's part of the deal. Who knows?
I think it's all like just smoke and mirrors to something else happening underneath. Because I feel like if that's the only thing that happened while Peter McLeish was temporarily present, that is just masking something that we're probably going to find out later.
Totally. Otherwise, why?
Because like, it's not like he went to war. He didn't start anything else big. Like, no. He was just like, whatever. Like, the markets will crash.
He wanted to cause uncertainty, I think, and just continue to make things unstable.
Yeah. I think it's all just one big distraction.
Yeah.
And as far as I know, like, the impact, because by the end of the episode, Tom is alive after surgery, wants to get up and show everybody that he's alive and well, the country's in good hands. So he does one of Renee's favorite scenes.
Goes up to the window.
That's right.
I hated that scene. Oh, my God.
I'm alive. Don't shoot me again.
Seriously, how? How did they let him go to the window? Like,
because he's not a president. I think that, and that's something that, you know, we can talk about, you know, a little bit here if we want, of, like, the difference between a politician and just a regular person, where they're like, you know what, screw it. Like, I don't care. I'm going to do that. And he does it.
Yeah,
but he also imagine the Secret Service kind of surveil that whole area. That place is under lockdown for anybody.
It's obviously, you know, they make it as safe as possible, but they realize of, like, the connection with the people, that's important. And so they're going to do it at whatever cost.
No, I totally agree. And I think it was a good moment for him to connect with the people. I just felt like, for the sake of the show, I know there's so many unrealistic things happening, but, like, that to me was so frustrating. I'm like, come on, you can't do that to the viewers. Like, we just watched him go through 3 hours of surgery from being, you know, getting shot from being in a very public open space. And then the moment he's better, I mean, not even like 5 minutes after he got out of a coma and started talking to his wife, he's already ready to stand up and look out the window and greet the people. Like,
yeah, they should have played I Am a Survivor while he was waving.
I would have taken like a video message or something.
I'm going to say one word. That's warriors.
That's You know, hey,
he's a warrior.
That's right.
Yeah. Warriors, remember?
Two scenes, things about that scene. One, I would have liked to have seen if he'd fallen out the window at that time. Like,
oh my God.
But then the other part, too, is when he's just got out of surgery and he's still asleep. What brings him back to wake is the wedding ring sliding on the finger.
The magic of marriage. Nothing wakes me up more than a ring.
Oh, really? All right. Well, everybody remember that for Renee Ariel. Yep. Okay. Nothing wakes her up like a ring. There you go. So send your rings over there. Wake her up. That's right. That sounds great. All right.
I meant like a...
Even just a
ring. Oh, my God. That was worse.
Oh, boy. All right. A lot of warriors. Hey, warriors, guys. Warriors. I had that written down.
I see it. Yes. You got over there.
Oh, my gosh. You wrote that so big.
I did, because it was a very important part of the episode.
Clearly.
Yes, because as we were talking about briefly, Alex and Seth have a little bit of a conversation. It was nice to just see two characters you don't normally get to see having a conversation.
Yeah.
After Alex has had that flashback about their conversation with, like, oh, you should take the position with HUD. That's a great thing. The president's asked you. You should do it. And now she's feeling very guilty about that. And it says that, you know, Seth, you can't be alone all the time. You should, you know, have somebody at home to come to. Somebody at home to come back to.
Seth isn't ready for a relationship.
See, I don't blame him for what he said. I mean, I see what she's saying. And I liked his response of, I am doing something important.
Like, yeah.
And then she was like, but it's not in that you're alone. Like, what? Come on.
I don't think you need to be in a relationship.
No.
To do stuff that's important.
Definitely not.
But, like, her husband might have been dying, so it was a very...
Yeah, she's obviously
super choked up.
She's like, you don't want to die alone, right? I mean, sign up for Bumble.
Oh my God.
I mean, it's very much like we're doing something important here, folks. We're breaking down Designated Survivor. Yeah. I think it's important for us to have somebody to come home to, don't you think?
Yeah, that's why I have cats.
That's right. See, there you go. Christine?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
You single girl? You got them digits?
Call me.
But thank goodness, Tom is safe, but Catalan has been eliminated, and McLeish thinks, and his wife especially, think there's no way they can trace it. Nobody's got anything on us. We are free and clear. But we, of course, know that Mike has got Hannah Wells and has escorted him to good old Tom Kirkman.
Good old Tom.
Yes. And you knew there was not going to be any information given out this episode. It was just they put it at the last possible second just to tease you, like, we got to come back next week.
So here's the question. Because looking at, finishing up with that and what we're going to see next week, will that information of whatever their conversation come out in the first, I'm going to say 10 minutes? There's a question. Will it come out in the first 10 minutes of next week's episode?
It has to. Yes.
I think it will. Only for the simple fact that, I mean, even the flash forward scenes, he's still in the hospital. He's not going anywhere. I think they're just going to pick it right back up. It's already been off for 3 months. How much longer are you going to make us wait?
Yes. Wait. You mean finding out
McLeish? He's got 22 episodes in the season.
Everyone finding out McLeish is bad, you're saying, in the first 10 minutes?
Hannah actually tells Kirkman, will we find out in the first 10 minutes?
What she tells him?
Yes.
We already know what she's going to tell him. We know.
But we haven't seen her tell him yet.
I don't think we're going to see her tell him. I think we already know the information.
Yeah. But how much is she going to release? Is she literally
going to
spill everything?
I think
she's
going to spill the beans.
She's been waiting for this meeting.
He's saying
for
that.
Sure.
That's one of your favorite things now.
She's going to spill the beans for dinner.
She's going to spill the beans. Oh, good the beans. Tom. Yeah, the beans.
She's going to spill the beans to good old Tom.
I guess, do you want to see the scenes of her actually telling him this? Or is that that's repetitive?
It's
you
a waste
just cut
of time.
To after, like, Tom's just basically after the conversation's reacting. Like, all right,
this
is what
we've
been
waiting
to do.
For so long. Like, I get it. Like, I know what she's going to tell him. Skip it.
But you don't get to see Tom's reactions to hearing this in real time. Like, oh my God, what? What?
Look, have like a post, like, oh my gosh.
I mean, maybe never in the grand scheme of the story, it's irrelevant, his initial reaction, but like that combo has to happen. And maybe, like you said, well, it'll just come into like, she's just finished saying everything.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, so you're telling me this, what's next? Like,
yep,
it'll be total like game plan mode and trying to get everyone, you know.
Yeah, I 100% agree.
On task or something.
Because, if they start up and she's like, okay. So what I was saying, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
No.
I almost wish that does happen. Just so we can see
they might. He's only have 22 episodes. They might just drag it.
We still have I mean, after this, we still have 11 more. We're not even... Now we're halfway through.
Oof. Oh, boogie. Oh, boy.
Woo!
Given that the fact that Hannah has seen all this stuff but doesn't have any actual evidence of this, they're...
Because it was destroyed or stolen.
Yeah. When she got in the car wreck and then somebody, Catalan, took it with them. So... Now this the quest to find real evidence and real proof so they can be able to prove
Wait,
all this stuff.
Hang out
so
with his wife for 5 minutes.
It's your proof. Do you think, so Catalan took it from her car, and they supposedly took out Catalan, so do you think they'll recover the evidence there? Do you think it's already gone? Like,
if he's smart, he destroyed it.
Well, I would think so.
But I don't think it was with him when he did all that. If it could have been stored as a security in some kind of other location as, like, backup. Like, if you guys are trying to screw me over,
yeah,
I have this someplace so that it can get leaked out, and then bad things are going to happen. But that all supposes that he's been in contact with somebody that, like, in case I die, in case my conspiracy buddies have set me up and I die on this assassination attempt, tell somebody on the inside about this file that I have on everybody. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah. We don't know. We don't know him that well.
And we never will know. Unless Christine's right and it's just a ruse. And
which
the real
I would
Catalan.
Not be surprised by.
I'm going to stick with that one.
He's still
one.
Alive.
I think he's still alive.
Interesting.
I might just be like a silly viewer for thinking that, but
I
think so.
I mean, I hope, obviously, you know, he's one of the people, if we're looking at finding out about characters, we have to find out about him.
There needs to be more.
We literally know nothing other than the fact that he was in the unit.
And, yeah, and I think they're going to explore that more. Like, their past of MacLeish and Catalan being in that unit together and whatever mission they started.
I'm very excited about the character development. Yeah. I mean, I would consider myself one of the critics who was like, we need to see more of this. Let's stop with the suspense that is inaccurate, and let's actually get down to, you know, what is happening.
I'm going to say that I feel like Catalan is Christine's, Michael Klaus's, Hannah's boyfriend.
That's what I was going to say, is I'm surprised he's doubting it, because
Wait,
he was
one,
all about,
one more
was
time?
It Scott?
Yes,
Wait.
This is pretty much like my like Hannah's boyfriend.
Scott.
Yep, Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Remember your relationship with
you
Scott?
You thought Scott was, he's coming
Scott's
back,
alive,
guys.
Guys, every week. I think Scott's
yeah, that's
alive.
That's the character we need to find out more
well,
about.
Okay, listen, I'm running off the assumption that if you don't see the dead body, it like that person could still be alive.
It's like the rule of pretty alive.
That's what
I
think.
Show? In a TV show, it's definitely possible.
All right, so Scott and Catalan can be coming back together.
Maybe they're friends.
Working, maybe not Scott, but definitely Catalan.
I like that. Michael's wrong. I'm still good. I'm still good. I do like that.
But why even have that plot with Scott?
No,
I still
I
don't
think we like Scott in season one. Like,
I think
we're still in
season
one.
Oh my god! It feels like it's been.
We're still there, people.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Sure does.
Something interesting that I've been trying to find, because I remember I read it like 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, and I thought it was incredibly interesting, is that the actual federal government, there were a lot of people upset about the FBI director, which we didn't actually see Atwood in this episode, if that's something we want to talk about as well real quick. But they were upset that an FBI director could be swayed to change after what happened with, in real life, with Comey coming out with the election and making the decision with Hillary to say that they were investigating again. To compare it to this show, that they were very upset that this show made it seem like an FBI director could be swayed. And so they actually wanted to get it pulled. I remember reading that. I'm trying to find out where it is. If I actually am able to find it, it will be on my Twitter. But I thought that was very interesting.
It is interesting.
And it follows along with what we're talking about of, you know, same political climate where we have someone without political experience in the White House and how they're acting versus how a politician would act.
That's true. I mean, it's interesting to know that in the real world, I guess our world, if an FBI agent's child was threatened, that the FBI agent wouldn't sway. It's like, I'm sorry, my child's going to have to die. That's pretty much what you're...
You have a duty. You can't, you know, sacrifice that. You took an oath.
I mean, it's still, like, television.
No, it is, absolutely. But I found that interesting, of they're like, listen, we're not a fan of this. Like,
yeah,
that's it. Thought that was interesting. Really? And I even see that, you know, I compared, what we were saying with Kirkman coming to the window and, like, waving, obviously, to reassure people.
Yeah.
Of, like, 2 days ago, I think it was 2 days ago, maybe it was just yesterday, when Trump came out, there was the first group of visitors to the White House. And he, like, came out.
But, like, he jumped.
He came out from behind, like, a curtain or something like that.
Ta-da.
But it's like, you know, where you do that, or he had, like, he even called, like, a boy over. Because they don't care as much, I guess, about being that politician. And I see that with Kirkman, if he's like, I don't really care about this title. So, yeah, I'll go to a window, I'll, you know, to see the
Did he get that kid a handshake?
Obama was pretty playful, and I think he cared a lot about his office.
No, no, I did. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that he didn't. I wasn't comparing it that way. Mm. But, like, they're more real. And I don't mean that as, like, in a bashing way of any politician is not real.
Yeah.
But you're always like, they're a politician, like, either side, Republicans, Democrats.
So it's less careful, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
So not really less careful. Less careful, thought out.
Less thought out.
That's correct. Agreed.
Yeah. Of, like, whatever they say sometimes without thinking, which can be good and bad.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am not to the majorly talk politics, but I just found that very interesting.
Mm. All right.
It's kind of hard not to talk politics, I think, with this
it
show.
Is, honestly,
yeah, with this show.
With this show, it's like
talking
it's inevitable.
About politics.
It comes up.
But I just see that in Kirkman, and it's one of the questions that actually came up in an interview with Kiefer of, like, how do you take a politician and put him into an office and not have him become a politician?
No, that's true. I mean, that was something that character even worried about, too. It's like, as you said, even with the flashback with the HUD, like, I'm going to have to make compromises, believe in things, or stand for things that I really don't believe in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they made him seem so perfect, like a unicorn in that flashback. Like, I'll never stand behind something I don't believe in. And, yeah.
Cut to, he's gotten shot and now he's waiting.
He's in the thick of it now. So,
as we're wrapping up, why don't we do a few predictions? I saw a little sneak peek about things to come this season. So any flash they have based on that, you want to make some predictions of where we're going for the rest of the season?
Do we get the lights? Oh. There it is.
Cute.
I miss the lights. Predictions. What do you got, Renee?
Because of that conversation with Seth and Alex, I see that reporter woman coming back into Seth's life.
Oh, can
I? Whoa. I thought about that too.
Because I don't think they would have brought it up, especially to Seth, if that meant he wasn't going to have some sort of love interest. And I think they'll just bring her back because it's not that they ended because they didn't like each other. So I'm seeing that. Still don't really trust Aaron. And I think next week we are going to pick it up right when Hannah finishes telling them, and then they're going to be like, what do we do now?
Speaking of reporters, one second for a tangent.
Go for it.
One other thing is when Tom comes to the window and then it cuts to the crowd and the reporter that's been so questioning of Seth, like her face just like lights up like, and the smile
wow.
she gets.
I was like, that's president.
I thought that was such a ridiculous reaction. Like,
agreed.
Okay, put your poker face on, reporter. It's okay.
I've kind of already said this, but I think Aaron is innocent. And I think we will find out that somehow it was planted. And while he may not be, you know, there's a lot of this with show, same with the FBI guy, of like, they may not be a great guy, but that doesn't mean they're guilty. And I think that's what we'll see with Aaron. And I see that relationship being rekindled. I do not, however, see the relationship being rekindled with Seth and the reporter.
Ooh.
I hope he doesn't fall back into that trap. mainly for the drama purposes of like, come on, how many inter-office relationships can we have in one show?
How is he going to meet someone outside?
We'll wait 4 years and then you can do
Bumble?
It.
Tinder?
Maybe. Tinder?
Tinder for him.
Bumble, you're better
Match.
Than Bumble
com,
and Tinder.
eHarmony, Farmers yeah. Only.
Farmers
Only. Your blue apron guy.
Just like. Living. Church.
Church.
Are you going to take him to church, Michael?
I'm not interested in him, but if, you know.
Okay.
You would take them to church? Is that like a...
You can meet people at church.
I've never met anyone at church.
That's because you don't go to church.
That's true. Wow.
Well,
it got real, guys. It got real.
What are you doing Sunday morning? So I'm going to stick with my prediction that Aaron is bad, and I think that he is going to use his chemistry or his previous chemistry with Emily to manipulate the situation in his favor and maybe just steer her off his trail a little bit and maybe get his chips in order in the background and, you know, see what his next move is going to be. I think we're actually going to pay a lot more close attention to him since they keep putting him in our face so much this episode.
Do you see him being, like, on the offensive bad or working more behind the scenes bad?
More behind the scenes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with that. And I'm going to make a prediction, or maybe more of, like, a hope that we don't get too much of the family aspect next episode. I feel like a lot of the time when we're making headway with the drama, we get, like, a touching family scene. Like, I want them to just keep giving us the answers we need and stay on track for the rest of the second half of the season.
More facts, less feelings.
Yes. I want to see, like, you know, things move. Like, I feel like this episode, we actually finally saw what we wanted, which is Hannah finally getting to talk to Kirkman. Like, keep the plot lines going. Don't stall anymore. Like, I
no
don't
more
think.
Leo.
Yeah, I don't think that the viewers can wait. I mean, I do want to, like, things to play out in a timely manner and have some sort of purpose, but I just want to see more and quicker.
It does feel like, I think the producers and the writers have learned that the family aspect of it is not that great. In terms of Leo and Penny, I feel like they really dialed back on that. And we do get one just to kind of remind you, yep, they are still there. But I feel like those episodes, especially leading into the fall finale, just we saw less and less of that, which I was thankful for. Because I thought that was just one of the, I think we've all agreed, too much Leo is not a good thing.
What do you think is going to happen, though?
I think everybody's going to, get along, be happy. They'll sing a song, State of the Union for the following year.
What song?
Everybody get down. I don't know. Wait. I think Hannah and Forstall will be actually working together. So Hannah will be released. Her and Forstall will be working together to find evidence for everything that she's found that she lost due to the assassination attempt. So I think that'll be it. And I'll be curious to see like Hook, Stratton. I think they'll be butting heads, but. I think we'll see the VP trying to eliminate Hook Stratton maybe in some fashion.
Going to the live chat asking what their predictions are, Ivan says that next week Atwood, he believes, will be freed from jail.
Which would make sense,
obviously, if they have that conversation. And then ClueGirl86 says Aaron is hiding something, but does not have to do with the big conspiracy.
That's what I'm saying. There you go.
But, like, hiding what? Does he have, like...
feelings.
Cancer or something? Like, something?
No, I mean,
it's
something
know.
That maybe he doesn't think is, like, the most up-and-up thing that he's ever done.
For something with the previous presidency.
Yeah.
Could maybe. Be.
Well, look at that. Ladies and gentlemen, you didn't think it was possible, but we did it. We recapped the Designated Survivor show. We did it. And we did it without
We're
Oreos.
We're back.
We survived.
We did it without Oreos. I feel like we need to change that for next week. So, you know what? Why don't you tweet us, any one of the four of us, and let us know what Oreo flavor you'd like us to have in studio next week. It could be I wouldn't mind like the chocolate cream or the cinnamon roll. That's what those are going to.
I'd be down to try that.
Cinnamon roll, that's delicious.
Let's switch it up.
It was just National Oreo Cookie Day. If you guys follow me on Twitter, you'll see I posted a recap of when we did that here.
I think I did see that. National Oreo Cookie Day.
Yeah,
times. Christine's face was
delicious.
Favorite.
I think I gagged the entire time.
That was so funny.
I like to think every day from the Survivor After Show
stack
is
of
that
Oreos
Oreo Cookie
was
Day.
Like,
that was disgusting,
the size of Michael's head, like...
So you're saying I have a really tiny head.
Sorry.
All right, thank you. That is it for this episode.
There you go. So anyway, folks, tweet us your what Oreo flavor you want us to have. We'll have it in here next week in studios for us to eat while we recap next week's show. In the meantime, though, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Thanks, everybody, for hopping in the chat and sharing your thoughts about the series in general and this episode in particular. And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Renee, where can they find you?
You guys can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel.
Hey guys, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at TheOnlyMC now. Once again, I will be tweeting out an article if I can find it about the government and how they actually wanted to kind of get Designated Survivor off the air. And then obviously you can check out that Oreo picture. It's a good one.
And you guys can connect with me on Instagram and Twitter at Christine Bean.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Got to get my gram game going, guys. You guys are already so far ahead of me. I'm going to try to catch up to these three. But in the meantime, folks, we'll look forward to your Oreo cookie tweets. And we'll see you next week here for another episode of the Designated Survivor After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.